ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A reversal from President Biden saying he's willing to meet with the Republican Speaker of the House over getting desperately needed military aid to Ukraine. On returning to Washington from Delaware, the president criticizing Republicans.
The way they're walking away from the threat of Russia, the way they're walking away from NATO, the way they're walking away from meeting our obligations, it's just shocking. I've been here a while. I've never seen anything like this.
Weak in the knees when it comes to Russia is how Republican presidential contender Nikki Haley describes her rival Donald Trump. This Saturday's the South Carolina primary. Haley saying when she was governor, every county gained jobs.
By the time I was done, they were naming us the Beast of the Southeast, which I still love.
A man's arrested on murder charges over the shootings of two people who were found dead in a dorm room last week at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, that according to police. This is ABC News. Many students and their parents say the current college financial aid system does not make the grade.
For college-bound students, few things compare with the excitement of being accepted by their first-choice school. It's often tempered, though, by the uncertainty of whether they'll get the financial aid they need to attend. And this year, that worrisome wait may be longer than usual. Financial aid decisions, which usually accompany acceptance letters, have been delayed due to a later-than-expected rollout of a revised financial aid application. Some schools are adapting and dropping the popular May 1st admission deadline as a result. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Apple about to face a big fine, according to the Financial Times, which says the European regulators are set to fine Apple more than $500 million for alleged breaches of competition. It follows an investigation into claims Apple hindered third-party music services on its devices. Spotify filed a complaint with the EU in 2019, claiming Apple limits choice and competition. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people gonna say, oh man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
The Bucks' Damian Lillard named All-Star MVP.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The East beat the West in the annual NBA All-Star game by a ridiculous final score of 211 to 186, a new all-time record high. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard becoming the first player to win both the three-point competition and MVP.
It's definitely one of those things where people are going to look at the game and say they don't play defense, and some people don't take the competition serious. But for me, it was just a break from the season and an opportunity for me to just be successful at something.
Baseball veterans reporting to Brewers spring training camp, including their new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, who signed with the club after leaving the Phillies. A week later, the Brewers traded pitcher Corbin Burns to Baltimore. His reaction.
Anytime you lose a bona fide ace in this game, Corbin Burns, and he's really, really good, but, you know, an opportunity for some of the younger guys to step up.
That's Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-20s.
a mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the mid-40s. And into more sunshine and a little warmer Wednesday, high upper 40s. And in the low 40s, looking into Thursday with more sunshine than clouds. Currently 35 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Up Tuesday on Matt and Air on Air, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us from 10:30 to 11 in hour number 2, dog training tips with Think Positively. Don't miss it.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, here we are, and it's Monday, President's Day. We don't have Tim with us tonight, but as the co-pilot of this fantastic show with amazing guests lined up, it's me, Johnny Lupinacci, here with you tonight. And we have a couple of wonderful guests to talk about education. Well, our first guest, Julie K. Underwood, is a former dean of the University of Wisconsin School of Education and is the first woman to lead UW's School of Education as a dean. She served in her role as dean of the University of Wisconsin School of Education from 2005 to 2015. Julie is here to talk with us tonight about vouchers. All last week it kept coming up. We were talking about public school and the importance of public education, but callers called in, talked about the differences between public and private. We dove into charters. There's a whole typology of these things. When it comes down to it, we frequently talk about how important public education is to democracy, how important funding public education is. And then we call on experts like Julie to help us better understand some of the curveballs were thrown, especially in the political discourses around vouchers. So, Julie, welcome to Busted Pencils. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit more about vouchers and about all this, like, how do we see through, excuse my language, how do we see through the crap?
Well, there is a lot of that flying around.
Yes.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is a very long and sad story. And in Wisconsin, it started in 1990 because Wisconsin has the notoriety of being the very first state to enact a voucher program. And it was in 1990, long time ago, but actually I was there because I was interim general counsel for the Department of Public Instruction at that moment, serving for Burt Grover. And he was the state superintendent, and the legislature passed the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. It was actually brought to Wisconsin by Governor Tommy Thompson. He had just gotten back from an ALEC conference, and he was always proud of being an ALEC member. He would say, "Well, I just bring good ideas back and pass them off as my own." Well, this was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But they enacted it through the budget bill. Now, we've had we have four different voucher programs. Four different voucher programs. And none of them have ever been enacted as a standalone bill. They've all been slipped through as part of the budget bill. Mm-hmm. That's what happened in 1990. Department of Public Instruction had to write regulations. We wrote regulations that made the private schools responsible for students' rights, constitutional rights, and Wisconsin statutory rights, because if public money is going to be spent there, there should be public responsibilities as well. And of course, they sued us and we lost that case. And then we lost that case in the Wisconsin Supreme Court as well. They said, one of the justices actually said, give choice a chance, because this was a very small experimental program and nobody had tried it before. You know, it was Milton Friedman kind of crap that started this, like competition among schools and competition among students is going to be a good thing. It's going to be a great thing for public schools. And in that year, there were 7 schools that participated and 341 students. And that is no longer a small experimental program. You know, now we have 4 voucher programs plus the independent charters schools, and total the voucher programs and the independent charters, because there's not much difference between the two of those, are costing the state of Wisconsin $701 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Julie, those are big numbers.
We're talking real change here. Big money.
Yep. Okay. So for our listeners and for me too, because I have just an understanding as a former Michigan teacher, it's not all that different in Michigan than it is in Wisconsin. And now I'm in Washington. And so I hear a lot of different state funding models. And for our listeners too, break it down. So back when we go back before this history of vouchers and really this sort of effort to aggressively defund public education.
That's what it is.
The basics of it was you went to school where you lived, and that wasn't perfect in terms of districts were not funded equally and schools could be underfunded, but there was a sort of a bone structure or a skeleton to how we might work to better fund all of our schools, right? Yes. There wasn't this option of choice or this illusion, I'll say, of choice.
Yeah, because it's not really choice for parents, mind you. It's choice for the schools, because they're supposed to not discriminate. They're supposed to take students, but they cherry pick all of the time. And once they get students in the door, quite often they expel them if they're a discipline issue, especially special ed students. No, it is not choice for parents and children. It is choice for schools. And this whole thing isn't done in the interest of children or in the interest of democracy. This whole thing is done in the interest of funding private schools, of those schools that, you know, particularly like the for-profit schools and the small schools that are 100% funded. It's all about that.
Right. So sorry.
I took us in a little angle there.
That's important, because for our listeners to understand, most of us went to school, and maybe that's our orientation to how schools work. And you went to school based on where you lived, right? Like your local public school or something within that vicinity of things. Maybe there was a magnet or a special program within the public school system. But then there's this sort of marketization of schools where now there can be this idea. You said it, Milton Friedman-esque, this sort of free market of schools, where we say, if we want to improve schools, rather than fund them, right, rather than put more money into them, there was this wild idea. And this is exciting, Julie, because you were at ground zero of this. You saw the brilliant, and I'm putting scare quotes around it for our folks who aren't on the radio but might be watching us live, this brilliant idea that comes from Alec. We can do a whole separate show probably on Alec.
Let's do that.
Yes. On these sort of these think tanks influence on the marketization of education. But here we have, so we're backing it up for our listeners. The early 90s, we start to say, hey, you know what? Let's make education a free market. Let's make it the free market. Let's create competition out there and let's expand markets and really create more schools. So then how does vouchers fit into this? So now if we say like bad idea, you and I probably both agree, bad idea, instead of fixing or funding public schools more, we are going to create competition, and that competition, that's how free market economics work. The belief is that competition is going to make schools better.
It didn't. Even if there would be competition, it's not fair competition.
No, right.
I mean, there's not a level ground here, since they don't do all of the things that we do in public schools, especially like special education. They aren't responsible for special education. Even the special education, the special needs vouchers programs, private schools are not required to abide by the Individuals with Disability Education Act. Mm-hmm. And so they don't give a free and appropriate public education to children, and they don't do due process with parents. None of that applies to them. There are reams and reams of things that don't apply to them.
So it's like unregulated opportunities to make money off where kids go to supposedly learn. And then best case scenario, maybe they learn there.
They can do things like require parents to participate in XYZ, require parents to come in and volunteer. A lot of parents can't do that. Right. I mean, it's an entirely different entity, private schools and public schools. There's a role for private schools. I just don't think that the public should fund those private schools, particularly to the tune of $701 million a year.
Right.
Because there's no accountability. And originally this was set up for segment switchers, like for students who were disenfranchised in the public schools for whatever reason and wanted to go to the private school. Now, like, look at the statewide program in Wisconsin. In the statewide program in Wisconsin called parental choice program, mm-hmm. 80% of the students who went in this year didn't go in from a private school. They've never attended a private school. I mean, they've never attended a public school. They've only attended private schools, or they were just going in like from kindergarten or just going into high school. But 80% of them are not segment switchers. These are not people who tried public schools and wanted out. These are people who are sending their kids to private schools for whatever reason. And God love them, if they want to do that, fine. But I don't want to pay for it. I don't want the states to pay for it. So it was Milton Friedman set it up as this competition kind of thing for segment switchers. That's not what it is at all. All it is the public paying for private school tuition. And we don't do that. Like, we don't, if you want to go to a country club instead of the park that I was just in earlier today, the public park.
Open to the public park, yeah.
Open to the public. Yeah. You can't say, I want to go to a country club and I'm going to go to that country club and I want the city of Madison to pay for it. That's not the way it works. And that's not the way it should work in schools, but that's exactly what's happening.
That's right. So that's kind of vouchers 101. It's this whole, you know, proposal to have taxpayer money subsidize or pay for private education. And Julie put it really well. It's not those of us that are opposed to it are against private school. Sure, have private school as an option. They've been around for a really long time. They're not instead of public education. And public funds shouldn't be used for students to be in those schools.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is really helpful. I know that's so helpful because so often we hear just a big cloud around the education debate on where do vouchers fall into that. And so we had Dr. Underwood here with us tonight, helping us better understand the history of it. And I can't wait to do a follow-up if we might be able to. I know that you are a busy woman, but if we can do a follow-up, because you were at ground zero of those great, quote-unquote, great ideas to marketize education. And we're saying, hold on, this is going to be really damaging. So we can get together and better understand how ALEKS, or these special interest think tank groups, impacted education. When we get back, we have other guests with us tonight. And exciting stuff from the Wisconsin Public Education Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, and the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. I am Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. For folks who have been listening, are my regular co-host, usually here with me 5 days a week. Got pulled away today, but we are running with some awesome guests tonight. We got Anya on the boards. Our first guest, Dr. Julie K. Underwood, helped us better understand vouchers and the importance of what really happened when we got into this whole mess of how did there become a market for schools and what is this whole school choice business? How can we better see through the, excuse me, my lack of better terms, but see through the crap of defunding public education? But speaking of public education, our next guest tonight, Heather Dubois-Bornain, is executive director of the nonpartisan nonprofit Wisconsin Public Education Network and a proud public school parent and community organizer. Prior to moving into the advocacy world full-time, she worked in the K-12 outreach at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and taught at Madison College. She has a BA in English from Michigan State University and a master's in African and African American studies from the Ohio State University. She is passionate about education, justice, and we're lucky to have her with us tonight. Heather, welcome back to Busted Pencils. I know you've been on before, but welcome back, and it's great to have you.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So give us first an update on what's happening. What are things going on with the Wisconsin Public Education Network? I know there's a lot, so just give us the give us the rundown.
Well, we are super busy chasing clown cars and putting out fires and trying to do right by all the kids and all the places in every public school in the state. And it has been a lot in the past couple of years. I guess where I'll start is we've been really busy just trying to keep track of all these school referenda that are going on around the state. We're facing a record number of districts that are going to referenda this year here in Wisconsin. And many of these teams are reaching out for support and asking, you know, how can we be sure to get the message across to voters about how important it is for us to pass these efforts when the state just simply isn't doing its share, right? And I think folks, voters, are getting a little weary of having to foot the bill when the state is sitting on the a massive surplus, which is the situation that we're in. But the fact is, when the people in charge aren't doing their job, it's up to us to be the grown-ups and make sure kids have what they need. And, you know, I don't like this system of funding by referenda any more than anyone else, but somebody's got to make sure the lights stay on, and that's going to be us. So we're dealing with a lot of that. We do have some good news in Wisconsin today for kids and for potentially closing the gaps for our kids in that the governor has signed into law much more fair and less partisan districting maps, something that we've been advocating for and that folks around the state have been taking to the grassroots level for years and years. And hopefully this is a huge step towards education justice for us. So that's a major victory. We're also tracking school board races and helping make sure that voters know who's running for school board, where they live and why, and where they stand on the issues that matter and how you can tell, and giving folks tips for getting voters educated and out to the ballot box this April, doing lots of work like that. And then beyond that, we've got our sights set on the next state budget, because we're going to have to come together as a state to make sure that we've adequately resource our public schools. And we know that right now we are in a situation where we aren't even coming close to meeting the real needs of real kids in real time. And we've got to set this ship back on course if we're going to fix things here. So it's pretty dire.
Yeah, really great. Heather, can I ask you, that's some great stuff, but if I can focus in on one thing before we go to the break at the half hour, if you can, you know, for our listeners, I know a lot of our Wisconsin listeners, they have to be knowing about this maps stuff, but can you give us a little bit about like how this is such a victory today? Like what you said, it's a celebratory moment for the district maps. Just break it down for us a little bit. Why is that so helpful?
You know, for a long time in this work, we've been kind of frustrated by a sort of political apathy. People say, I share your frustrations and your passion for the issue, and I know that we have to do better by kids, but my lawmaker doesn't give a crap what I have to say. You know, I can send 30 emails a day and I don't get the time of day. I can show up at their office. I can go to their, you know, office hours or their town halls. They don't care what I have to say. In fact, we had one lawmaker who literally sat down with a group of public ed advocates and the first words out of her mouth were, "I don't have to listen to you." You know, how do you negotiate with your leaders in an environment like that? It's so disrespectful and it's so undemocratic. And so we're coming out of many, many years of that in Wisconsin, and it's created a sort of toxic culture of political apathy and frustration that has really, you know, made people not want to get involved and also made them just sort of grow to hate partisanships in ways that aren't really helpful for democracy. And so having fair legislative maps isn't just about giving one party an advantage over another. It's about giving people who are voting at the ballot box an actual sense of confidence that their voice matters and their vote matters. And so when we know that our leaders are held accountable to us, not just because we voted them into office, but because once elected, they are going to be so safe that they can say things like, "I don't have to listen to you," then we can share our concerns and our frustrations with them. And we can count on them with some hope of certainty that they're going to care what we think and what we say if they wish to be reelected. And so hopefully this will take some of that partisanship out of the equation and give people more confidence in the system and give us room to, you know, demand things such as funding our schools at levels that meet the needs of students and fixing a broken funding formula that's racist and outdated.
Yeah, so important. And hopefully restoring that accountability that in every way, you know, as an elected official, it is your civic responsibility. And there could not be a more simple job description than listen to your constituents, right? Be aligned to constituents' needs and listen to those needs and then advocate for them. But we know that hasn't always been the case, and that's not just a Wisconsin problem, right? That's a problem in politics around the nation. And so this is a really good breakdown and a really good understanding, and sounds like a great day for Wisconsin voters, like to restore some hope back into this, get active, get out there and vote. And you know, and I hope, Heather, we're going to have you back after the break, right? We have you for a little bit. We have you for a little while on the show, which is great, because when we come back, then one of the really great important things we'll dive into is, so I got really excited to hear that there are school board elections. There's information about that. Last week we had two school board, like parents who were in the school board, who ran for school board. We had, you know, a teacher who was running for a state legislation role. And so how the political process is so important is paramount to the success of our schools. And so the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Heather, the work you're doing and you're sharing here today, let's blow it open so listeners can hear where they can exercise their civic duty, vote, and make change to better fund all these public schools. That's the goal. That's the hope. When we come back after the break, busted pencils, fully led education talk, educators talking education. When we come back.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Good government groups say they're happy with Governor Evers' decision to sign new legislative district maps into law today. Yuseli Flores is with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition.
These maps would change Wisconsin's future for years to come, and it will definitely get rid of what happened in 2011. It'll dismantle that partisan gerrymander.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court ordered new maps put in place after declaring the old maps unconstitutional. The top three most popular specialty license plates in Wisconsin are for collector cars and motorcycles and hobbyist vehicles. About 367,000 plates were registered for those three categories last year. The Department of Motor Vehicles says more than a half million vehicles in Wisconsin have a specialty license plate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The 22nd annual Duluth Polar Plunge was held on Saturday. According to a Northern News Now report, locals took to the water at Park Point in freezing temperatures to help raise money for the Special Olympics. Despite some complaints about the wind making the cold air nearly unbearable after taking the plunge, most were happy to risk the frozen tundra for a good cause. Organizers estimate this year's Polar Plunge raised over $135,000. The plunge has raised over $2.7 million over 22 years. Authorities are searching for an 86-year-old man who was last seen nearly a month ago. According to the Pine County Sheriff's Office, Gerald Knapp was last seen on January 28th heading out of the Azkov area on County Road 142. Knapp's family says he lives with dementia and they think he was driving out of town to visit the diner he went to almost every day. Authorities found the car on the Gandy Dancer Trail and have searched for a 10-mile radius from the car, but they have not been able to find any other signs of Knapp. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. The Oscar-nominated Holocaust film, The Zone of Interest, will have a screening at Auschwitz. The World War II-era film tells the story of a Nazi officer and his wife who raised their kids next to a concentration camp. The film has been nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Picture, Director, Adapted Screenplay, Sound, and International Feature Film. If you want to see it before Hollywood's big night, you'll have to go to the theater. In Better Late Than Never news, Paul McCartney's classic Hofner bass has been returned to the former Beatle. The bass was stolen in 1972. McCartney bought the Lefty guitar in 1961 in Hamburg, Germany. CBS News reports that a group of investigators called the Lost Bass Project learned that the instrument had been stolen off a truck in London's Notting Hill neighborhood in 1972. McCartney's replacement Hofner, which was purchased in 1963, is still used during studio recordings to this day. Maybe bass players are cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high in the mid-40s. And into more sunshine and a little warmer Wednesday, high upper 40s. And in the low 40s looking into Thursday with more sunshine than clouds. Right now it's 33.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
It's selling something no one can be.
All right, and we are back, Busted Pencils, and we have great guests tonight. Stay down with us after the break. From the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Heather Dubois-Bornain with us here tonight. We're talking all things public education, but specifically, remember, if you want or if you'd like to call in, 844-967-2789, you're welcome to call in and talk and chat with Heather and I. Tim's not here tonight, but this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci with you. Usually co-pilot, tonight pilot, but I'm not going to say I'm just piloting because I also have my amazing producer Anya with us tonight. And I've had two great guests, the second guest, Heather, with us. Heather, we really dove into it with the Public Education Network. But can you break it down? So tell us and our listeners, kind of give us the overview. What does the Wisconsin Network for Public Education do? Tell us about the organization. And I think that's going to connect to a lot of the stuff that you all are not only working on, but getting the word out, because it all comes down to getting active as voters out there, being participants in this democracy. And so let's back up. Tell us about the network, and then let's go from there. Oh, Heather, you're muted. Sorry, this happens all the time to me. I am the king of this.
Sorry, I muted there during the break.
Unmuted. No worries. We're loud during the break for folks who are tuned in. You don't know. It's almost impossible to not turn the volume down or mute it because we get wild. So if you ever want to hop on live and see how crazy it gets and catch the behind the scenes, you're welcome to follow on YouTube or Facebook or any of those social medias to see us. But I'd like to say, at least when Tim's here, Tim and myself, Johnny, we have radio faces, so you might be better off just staying on, listening to us on the radio. But where we were at, Heather, tell us about the Wisconsin Network for Public Education.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Public Education Network is a statewide, informal, inclusive, wide-reaching coalition of people who are as mad as I am about all the right things, right? People who have been asking, why isn't the state doing right by its kids? Why is Wisconsin worse than the nation in the gap between test scores for white kids and black kids? Why is Wisconsin worse than the nation in states that fund special ed on a reimbursement rate? Why do we have to go to ask voters to raise taxes on themselves all the time in order to keep the lights on in our schools? Like, why does everything seem so politicized around public schools in this state? And why, at the same time, are we massively expanding all of these wholly unaccountable systems of schooling that play by their own set of rules, get their like guaranteed funds from the state, and like seem not to have to answer to anyone? And so, you know, people like me who were just like learning more about how school funding works and getting more and more frustrated and, you know, angry after Scott Walker kind of decimated public school funding in 2011 with the biggest cuts to public ed we ever saw, you know, and then cuts, by the way, from which we've never recovered. Like, we have not seen an inflationary increase to public ed spending since then, right? And we're still funding our schools at levels lower than we were in 2009 when you adjust for inflation. It's like absolutely shameful. It's like thousands and thousands of dollars in per student debt that we have never recovered. And so parents, caregivers, educators, school board members, superintendents, business leaders in the community, people who just care about kids in their public schools are starting to ask, what the heck is going on here and what can I do about it? These are the people who connect through our network and just like help learn what is going on from one district to the next. Talk about what can we do together to raise our collective voice? How can we make a difference? And And we're doing it. You know, one of the ways we did it is by joining that Fair Maps coalition that saw a great victory in Wisconsin today. Another way we do it is by organizing together around state budgets, showing up, testifying, holding our lawmakers accountable and keeping them honest by saying that, you know, this is what people really said at those hearings. Like, we were listening, we took notes. Here's the data on that. You better do right. Exposing what's going on in the Capitol and you know, people join our mailing list and they know what bills are coming up and what they need to do to speak out. And then, you know, focusing on local action, helping people get organized. We do organizer trainings. We help people who are considering running for school board know what does that mean and what do you got to do to prepare for that? Are you sure you want to do it? Because here's what it takes and we definitely need you, but like go in honest, right? Mm-hmm. And then support them once elected. Because we need to support public education champions at every level, regardless of their political affiliation, and make sure that they're in receipt of all of the facts when they make decisions that matter to all the kids. So we do a lot of organizer trainings, workshops, events. You know, Dr. Julie Underwood is one of the nation's leading experts on privatization and its impacts. She's a member of our board. We've got experts on lots of different areas on our board and direct access to some of the smartest people about all of these things in the state. We take all of that sort of like complicated, confusing policy stuff and just put it in plain language for folks. This is what it means to kids in your community. This is how you can take action on those things in a way that resonates. This is why it matters to our communities and to our kids, and give people the tools that they need to feel a little bit more confident navigating what it takes to just kind of get in the fight. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. And we invite people to join us. Come to check out our website, wisconsinnetwork.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow us on Instagram too. So check us out on social, and by all means, get involved. We really need more folks in the fight if we're going to win it.
Absolutely. And remember, if you want to join the show, call us in 844-967-2789. Join Heather and I tonight. Call, ask a question, share your thoughts. We love it when listeners call in. And let me restate, I probably said it four different ways tonight, but it is the Wisconsin Public Education Network, right? And you can get at all the information at the wisconsinnetwork.org. So get out there and check that out. Heather, this popped into my head when we were talking, because actually we had, you know, a parent. It was not a local guest, but from Vegas, a parent out there on Monday last week called, like we talked, and she shared about how her experience in school and then her involvement in her children's education led to her running and being on the school board. So I was like, it was a really fun kind of show where we talked about what school boards do, what her experiences were. But now here you are, you're saying it's an exciting time to be part of school boards. I have a couple of questions. One, why is it exciting? And then two, who can be part of school board? How do we even get involved? And you're kind of the person I can ask that, because you also help people realize this, they can be involved in how to. I'm going to put a pause on that real quick. I know I just asked a bunch of stuff and Heather's excited to answer. We got Joanne on the line. Joanne, how's it going?
Great show. I have a question about Heather's network. We've got online education presenting such a big promise to schools, but also being rather disappointing in the way it let a lot of people down during the COVID situation. And I'm just wondering how she and the other people involved in the network are dealing with those promises for the future, perhaps. Are you know, doing some research, trying to think about the future for online education? And if so, what directions are you taking?
Awesome. Thank you, Joanne. Heather, what's up? Online education, are these like distance learning programs?
Well, listen, we didn't need a pandemic to know that online learning is a pretty fraught field. We knew in Wisconsin that students who were doing virtual education only had, in general, the lowest test scores, the lowest graduation rates. It's really challenging to do online or virtual education right. And it often takes a really motivated sort of learner who's like has the resources needed to thrive in that kind of setting. And so it's challenging under the best of circumstances. But I think what the pandemic showed us is that at its heart, public education is, was, and always will be about connecting with each other, about the relationships that we forge through our classrooms, about the benefits of learning in environments that are inclusive and diverse and vibrant and thriving, and that give us opportunities to really engage thoroughly with each other. And it's very hard to replicate that in a, mm-hmm. in an entirely virtual setting. And so, we try to share out the lessons that have been learned by the experts on these things, and to advise folks, as always, to, you know, make decisions for your own kid that meet their needs best and that are, you know, aligned with how your kid learns best. And districts decide for themselves too how much of these virtual programs they're going to offer. So I will say that's not a question that we get very much, because most parents and caregivers overwhelmingly choose a public school in classroom brick and mortar setting for their kid, because we know that's where kids are most likely to thrive.
Yeah. And so important that, again, like our early guest, Dr. Julie Underwood, brought to you here, is like, there was, we're going to talk more about this on Busted Pencils, because there are so many different types of ways that we can get involved in education. There are different online learning opportunities. There are some that are hybrid and worked in with our public school system that we did learn in some context worked really well for some learners and families, awful for others. And how do we sort that out? Because we want everybody in their best learning environment. That said, there are for-profit, private, very distant and not about connecting and community always models out there, or ways for parents to, as we talked about in the first half of the show, choose or shop for a different kind of education. And we have found by and large that those do pose a kind of big problem for good quality education or insurance on what that ought to be. So that's kind of it weaves in there, and it's part of it. Heather, not like Joanne, thanks for the call. Always love hearing from you. Appreciate the props and the big ups that say it's a great show tonight. I feel like it's a great show. We're just missing Tim. He'll be back in the seat with me tomorrow. Remember, Busted Pencils 5 days a week. But Heather, back to this. We got a couple minutes before we go to break. School boards. Why? And like this is exciting, because school boards as an exciting place to be right now. First of all, why? And then two, who can even be part of school board? Like, what if I want to be part of school board? If I'm a parent listening, or I'm a teacher, like, who can and can't be part of the school board?
So anyone in Wisconsin can run for school board if they are an eligible elector in the district they're running to serve. And one of the things that we've learned in the course of doing the kind of work that we do is that there is no magic recipe for what makes a perfect school board member. And the healthiest, most productive school boards are the ones that are full of people who have, you know, diverse perspectives and views and experiences in the district and with their public schools, and who come from a variety of backgrounds, and even, you know, have disparate political views. Mm-hmm. When boards are in lockstep with one another on every single issue, I mean, that's when I start scratching my head and thinking, how did this happen? Like, it seems like there's no creative thinking going on at all in those situations. And so diversity of opinion and experience is great. The main thing that voters seem to be looking for when they're electing school board members is so simple, it like almost boggles the mind. Are you running because you care about kids? Voters are very good at finding out whether or not people who are running for school board are running for what they think of as the right reasons. And there's a long, long list of what those reasons might be, it really boils down to, are you running because you want to improve outcomes and experiences for the kids who live in our community? Or are you running because you have some other kind of agenda, because you're mad about some tiny little thing, or you have some political project or something else? When people are running for the right reasons, and when they understand the issues and can clearly articulate them to voters, then people know that they might have somebody who's worth voting for and worth supporting in a school board election.
I love it. We're about to go to break here. Remember, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Call us if you want to join the conversation. We're coming back after the break to talk more about school boards and why are they exciting places. I think you're getting us there, Heather. Who can be there, but why, and what's so exciting about being on the school board when we come back. We will not live this anymore.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide. He got ready. Ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And we are back, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, with special guest from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Heather Dubois-Bornain. We went to break, and I was all jazzed and amped about, like, okay, so school boards, who can be in them? And then, again, look, why is it and what's exciting about being part of the school board? I mean, you told us about it's a place where if you genuinely care about kids, right, and you want to participate in that democratic civic responsibility in the politics of caring about kids at the most direct level of impact, right? Maybe you're not in the classroom teaching, you're not in the school, or maybe you are, but you just see the need to advocate for some change or to make sure kids are cared about and be part of that political process. Well, school boards, that's a place to be involved. So tell us, why is it an exciting time to be involved in school boards? And then we'll roll that into where listeners can find out more about what's happening.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone who sat through a full school board meeting can deny how exciting it is to be a school board member and the rapturous agendas that they get to take up week after week. It does require a lot of attention to detail and concern for both the big and the little things. And so, you know, we're in jest a little bit here, but the truth is there is really no more important opportunity that democracy affords us to participate in our kids' education and in making sure that our public schools are doing the job they're supposed to do than by serving on a school board. And so people who take that charge take it extremely seriously and are entrusted with, you know, the most precious resource we have, our kids, and also expected to, you know, ensure that our most precious commodity, our educators, are treated with the respect and dignity and resources that they deserve to do their job with, you know, with full freedom to do what they do best. And so it's a huge job. But the beautiful thing about democracy is we can vote for who we want to serve on our boards. We can hold them accountable by showing up at school board meetings and by sharing our concerns, by openly addressing the entire body and making sure that they know what our concerns are, by reviewing policy ourselves and by participating as people who aren't elected officials in holding them accountable. Something that you don't get in you know, some of the other publicly funded non-public schools that we pay for here in Wisconsin, like the voucher schools or independent charters that, you know, aren't subject to the control of democratically elected boards. And so when we talk about things like parental rights and responsibilities and the rights of the community to hold its systems accountable, it's really only the public school that provides that to us. And it's only the public school that we can hold fully accountable. And so the beauty of running for school board is that you get to be a part of that in a way that really matters. And you get to be making the decisions that are going to make the difference between whether a kid has a joyful and fulfilling public education or whether that student's needs might not be met. And so that's kudos to everybody who takes on that task. We've got amazing school board members all over the state. We've also seen a lot of school board politics of late in recent years that have been, you know, less than glorious. And we've seen takeovers of school board by people who have run with very narrow political agendas and have you know, sought to ban books and abolish equity efforts and undo years of hard-fought protections and provisions that help students, you know, get through their day with dignity. And I think if you have concerns about any of that, and you want to be part of making change, maybe running for school board is for you. And that's something you should think about. But at the very minimum, you have a responsibility to know who is running in your community and where they stand on the issues that matter most to you, and to make sure that your friends and neighbors do too. It's a sacred obligation that we really need to uphold if we believe in democracy.
I love it. And Heather, our listeners, if you're out there and you're thinking, hey, maybe I should run for the school board, or at the very least, you're thinking, hey, I should know who's running for school board. Both of those things, that's information that folks can get from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, right? You have organized, you have trainings where if people are interested in like, hey, maybe that's me, I should run. They can learn how to get there, what it entails. Or if you're just at the very
least. We can point people to those resources.
Yeah, and at the very least, everybody out there, knowing who's running for school board is that important next step, right? We should all know who's running and participate in that vote, and we can get that information. At the very least, find that out from Wisconsin Public Education Network. So connect. Heather, we're coming up on the hour. Tell us more about just where we can connect to upcoming things. What's popping with Wisconsin Public Education Network?
All right. Well, I assume everybody who's listening has already followed us on social and gone to our website, wisconsinnetwork.org, and clicked join our mailing list, because that's how you can stay in touch about things like Public Schools Week, which is a nationwide celebration of our amazing public schools and the ways that they work so hard to make sure that we're meeting kids where they are and providing for what they need. February 26th to March 1, all week long, is Public Schools Week. Find a way to make your voice heard. Find a way to share what you love about your public schools, what your concerns are about your public schools, what you're doing to make a difference in the lives of your kids in your schools in your community, and join up with us. We've got a huge day of action planned for that Friday of that week. We're going to be at the Capitol doing a press event and a rally at 10:30 a.m. All are welcome to join us there. And then that evening, we're having our 10th anniversary party, if you can believe that. 10 long, embarrassing years of having to fight for basic education justice in a state that's failing to meet the needs of its kids. It's kind of a bittersweet landmark, but it has also introduced us to some of the most amazing people all over the state. So come meet some of those folks. Get to know us. Join us. This is a public fight. Anyone can join, and we are inviting you to stand with us in defense of Wisconsin's children as they remain under attack by people whose priorities are totally out of step with the needs of our kids. So Absolutely. Join us, wisconsinnetwork.org, and come celebrate Public Schools Week with us and cap it off on the first with that big celebration.
Absolutely. Heather, thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for busting pencils with us. I know Tim, he can't be here. I'm sure he'll listen. He'll hear the whole thing, but I couldn't be more honored to be in your presence. Also to our guest, Julie Underwood tonight, Dr. Underwood, fantastic voice on things. You'll hear from both of them again, because we'll be back here busting pencils 5 days a week. Join us tomorrow. Tim will be back. You'll have Tim and Johnny, fully leaded education talk. Looking forward to it. Can't wait for the rest of the week and excited about Public Schools Week. Join us when you can. Let's hear from you. Busted pencils.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on in Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together. In Worthington, Minnesota, it's worth a look.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Seeing firsthand ground-level evidence, the effects of the delay of more U.S. military aid to Ukraine.